And I did want to put out, which I forgot to do. I'm just remembering. My wife reminded me. We have prayer cards and we have lists of the Gimi church leaders. And we have them here. And if you'd like to pray for them, they'd really appreciate it. We would appreciate it. We need it. There were two men, especially I think of. I mean, they were just saying what the other leaders were thinking, no doubt. But before we left, one man came up to me and said, "Put me top of your prayer list." He says, "Put me top of your prayer list. I'm going to." They're in a brand new church outreach, and he's got takes his three children there with his young wife, and he's teaching both unsaved and saved people. The first time for the younger brother, and then he's working with his older brother. And then another man, also with tears in his eye, said, pray for me, put me top of your prayer list also. He is, his church has whittled down to just a few people, but the Lord has given him patience and endurance. He's been through a lot of things, I understand the burning of a house, which he was somehow, he was able to escape from. He has great skill in debating with the Seventh-day Adventists in the village where he is. And the Lord just gives him the wisdom, the right things to say at the marketplace when he debates with them. He just wants us to pray with him. That's Tolai from Kemal Village. All their names, most of the names of the believers are in these lists here. So if I put them down here, just come and grab them as you would like to afterwards. Don't be intimidated by the fact you can't say the names. I mean, the Lord knows who you're talking about. And also, you know, it's a fairly big list, praise the Lord. But you can just take one church at a time or one family a day, whichever way you want to do it. So maybe we could just lay them here. Okay. I was thinking there, we have a wonderful hope before us. There's a lot of, today in today's world, there's a lot of hopelessness, a lot of despair, and a lot of people wondering, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen in our world with the uncertainty? With the many situations that are out there. But of all people, we have a sure hope. We have a tremendous hope. And now, as we can keep our eyes on the prize, because we're on the way to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember running a 200-yard dash. Even skinny people can do track. And I remember one race where maybe it's happened to you or you've seen it, somebody in your family's experienced it, but when you get into a final of a 200, that was 200 yards then, 200 meters now, of course, and you're on the outside lane, you can't see the people on the inside lane. And when we started off, I was already a believer then. It was a 19... to 21-year-old bracket, so I was around 19 or so. And anyway, we got down and ready, and then the gun went, and I just took off. I just took off a little bit before the gun, just a bit. So I drew up. I just drew up and stopped, and they said, "What's happening? What are you doing?" This is in my home area in London. And I said, "Well, I just beat the gun a little bit," and then we all started again. And I still had to go through the same experience of taking off and going as quick as I can and just hoping no one was going to come roaring up on the inside, you know. They didn't. But the Lord helped me to be honest that day and to keep my eyes on the prize and obtain that transitory prize that day. But the Lord wants us to keep our eyes on the prize because we have the sure hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as He really is. And there's no other group of people in the world that have that hope that we believers in Jesus Christ have. We have a sure hope, a wonderful hope. And it thrills us, and it's been thrilling to go through the whole book of Revelation with the Gimme people and to learn with them, and hoping that I can answer all their questions as we went along. The Lord is very faithful. In John 14, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, we can remind ourselves of the sure hope that we have. It's always relevant, isn't it? The Word of God. It's more up to date than today's headlines or tomorrow's headlines in the papers. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Jesus Christ being God, equal with the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ being the God-man, our Redeemer, Savior. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. We can rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. In this day in which we live, you can't always rely on what you're told. Isn't that the truth? You don't know who to believe. You don't really know sometimes who is telling the truth. Am I right or wrong? I tell people, you know, sometimes you just get a moment to say something, you know, whether it's on an airplane or, you know, or in the store or whatever. And I say, read the Bible. It's 100% the truth. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you and you. And you, and you, and you, and you, echoing all the way back to all the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ around the world. I believe we're going to be a mighty crew one day that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for. Our friends in Papua New Guinea that we were thrilled to get an email from yesterday before we left, they are from Seoul, Korea. And Song was a computer man. He had his own computer business. And Mina was an English school teacher. And they gave it up when they heard about tribal people. And they are there in Papua New Guinea, believe it or not, in a tribe. They are Gimi people, but they are in such a different dialect. It's so different that they are now calling it the Mihi, which is their word for sweet potato. Our word is Isapa, and their word is Mihi. And many words, many things are very different, we found out. They are there in the Mihi talk place, and they're learning it in their mid-50s. I forget, whether they're 55 or 56 this year. And they are so excited. They are so excited. And they just wrote and said, the Lord helping us, we want to pass our final language and culture check. They're learning the language and culture of the West Gimi, the Mihi talk place, Kora people who've never heard the Word of God in their own language yet. The story is, basically, briefly, is that Balus, one of the Gimi believers, who we have taught in the past, one of the leaders, he had the choice to either be an elder of his home church or to go out and reach those who've never heard. And he said his heart was to go and reach those who've never heard. And he got a letter. He got a note from these Kora people who live 3 days' walk, 3 days' walk away from Negevi. If you got money and you got funds, you can fly there in 15 minutes from Goroka. If you don't have the money, which is often the case with the people, then Balus has to walk there. And he's gone to be with those people. Song and Mina are his partners, our friends from Korea. And when Shang and Mina, when they go on furlough and they speak at a church like this and at a conference, he told me that sometimes he speaks to, wait for it, 15,000 people, one church. Whether every single one is saved, I don't know. He always gives the gospel there. He always gets the gospel every time he speaks. But there are many, many believers there in Korea. What I'm saying is the Lord is building his church around the world. There are thousands of tribal believers now in Papua New Guinea. Think of all the believers, thousands of believers in Africa. There are Jewish believers in Israel. God is working amongst the Arab peoples. And people, Arabs, are being saved in secret, reading the Arabic New Testament. They are being saved. God is doing a work around the world. It's absolutely amazing. There's one tribe in Papua New Guinea. It's actually the first tribe that we ever went to in the 1950s. And one of our friends, believe it or not, he's still there in Papua New Guinea. Over 50 years he's been there. He went there as a 19-year-old. In his 70s, he's been there over 50 years, him and Corrine, dear folks, and we've known them a long time, spent a few Christmases together and some good times together. And in their tribe, they have 6,000 believers in that one tribe, over 70 churches. God is working all over the world. God is working here, God is working there, and God is working all over. So it's going to be a big assembly. That's why Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Sorry. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you and you and you. He's preparing a place for all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Gimis can hardly believe that we'll all be speaking the same language there in heaven. I mean, they got that look on their face. I mean, they know, you know, they ask the question, yeah, we'll all be speaking the language. What language? We don't know. But we're always speaking the same language. We'll all be there together. They can hardly believe that we'll be on the same level, the same cultural level. You know what I mean? We'll all be the same. I mean, we are in the Lord. But to them, they're just, we're bush people, they say. We're bush people. You guys, you've got all this paraphernalia, you know, all our technical stuff and all that. They're deeply impressed by it and they feel so inferior about it all. They can hardly believe that we're all going to be together. But that's the fact of it. We're all going to be together in God's heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for all of us. And he looks on all of us in the same way. The marvelous grace of God. In my Father's house are many, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you and you and you. And since I'm going and preparing a place for you, I will come again. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And I think sometimes in our Christian way of thinking and doing things, we slide that back there in the back part of our brain and say, someday, someday. But that's not what the Word of God is saying, is it? When I think like that, it's wrong. When you think like that, it's not right. Because when Jesus says he's coming back, could he come today? Yes. Did Paul in his day, the Apostle Paul, did he expect the Lord Jesus Christ to come back? Did he live in the light of that? Did he or didn't he? Yes. Let's Philippians. I'm talking to me as well as you. Our citizenship, Philippians 3, 20, 21. For our citizenship is in heaven. Thank the Lord. We all have one citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. We eagerly wait for a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state. These bodies are going to be transformed. Praise the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. We're going to be transformed. Our bodies will be transformed into conformity with the body of His glory. How's He going to do it? By the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. God can do it. The Lord Jesus Christ, God can change us. As we go, as the Lord Jesus gives a shout, He has a mighty voice. As the trumpet sounds, whether it's going to be day or night, you know, whatever it's going to be, He's going to come. We're going to go, and as we go, we're going to be transformed. And we're going to see Him. There's going to be the great meeting in the air. Talk about the ultimate Bible conference. The ultimate, right? Absolutely. Keep your eyes on the prize. It's coming up. It's going to happen. What a tremendous hope. And on that point just there, I have a note here from the man that has been here, who I have never heard, never met, Reynolds Showers, but someone graciously shared with me one of his books. And this was a help to me to read this. We should note, Mr. Showers said, we should note that Paul included himself among those who had this attitude towards Christ's coming. And this is a very intense word, by the way, the one in Philippians here. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly, it was a yearning. It was a yearning for the Lord Jesus to come back that our early church had. Can God restore to us that yearning that they had? Can He do it for us? Can He do it for me? Can He do it for us? Do we want the Lord Jesus to come back? Or is it too good here? It's going to be wonderful, isn't it? Actually see Him. Actually be with Him. That's going to be a wonderful moment. We eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we should note that Paul included himself among those who had this attitude towards Christ's coming. It was an intense and a primary focus for Paul and the early believers. Here's the question for us all. Would it have been so? You know, would it have been an intense and primary focus for Paul and the early believers? Would it have been so if there was no possibility of an any moment coming? Would a man like Paul wait for something that wasn't going to happen? Never. He believed it could happen. Could it happen any day? Yes. Perhaps today. The little booklet by Tim LaHaye that I saw there in England and bought that, and that's what it is. Perhaps today, our sure hope. And our sure hope includes the fact that there will be many dwelling places. Let's have a look at Revelation 21:16. The city, this is the New Jerusalem that John is being shown. The New Jerusalem, our final, lasting, forever home. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. Have you ever been in a city that was 1,500 miles long, wide and high? It'll make London, my home area, look like nothing. Look like a little hamlet. Los Angeles, New York City, Mexico City, name it, you know, wherever. 1,500 miles. I don't know how many miles we are from New York City. Are we 1,300 or so? Something? I know from Chicago it's 1,000. And I don't know how many we are, 1,300. But if we took it to 1,500 and worked it back to the East Coast, I mean, that's how long this city's going to be. That's how wide it's going to be, and that's how high it's going to be. When we're trying to get this across to the Guinea people, I was looking on the little maps that I have and got my ruler out, and I was astounded to see that from the nearest town to us, 1,500 miles takes you down to Sydney, Australia. And then it takes you all the way across Australia, and then all the way up the other side, and all the way back across again. A massive, huge city. Is there room for everyone who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. I said to the Guineas, there was two things that stood out to me as we were going through. You learn as you teach the Word of God. And I said, what is God saying to us as we went through the church age and as we went through into the rapture and as we're there in heaven with the saints worshiping the Lord? There's so many possibilities for writing songs. There's about 5 songs in there. And the people write their own songs, And I'm sure there's some songwriters here, right? Well, there are so many songs that could be written just from those chapters there. Chapter 4, chapter 5, there's about 5 songs in there. Anyway, then we went through that, and then we went into the tribulation starting there. Chapter 6, and on through. And first of all, with the Guineas, it was kind of like you could almost see them, I mean, you get to know each other, eh, over the years. 40 years is a fairly long time. And it was, the first thing was sort of like, wow, we Bush people, us Guineas, we're hearing revelation, We sort of, a little bit, sort of, one-upmanship, And I thought, oh no, But the Lord keeps working. The Lord works in His mighty way. And I said to them one day, what is God saying to us? What is God saying to us? Because God is talking to us. It's not just a series of events that are going to come up, that are happening now and will lead to us going to be with the Lord, will lead to the tribulation coming and so forth, and then Jesus coming back to reign. What is God saying to us? And then I waited. And you know what they said? They said, God is saying that we only have now. This is the last time that we will see our unsaved friends, neighbors, and other villagers over in the back, over in the west, who've never heard the gospel. This is the last time that they can hear. Because we're going, and they've got to go through the tribulation. This is the last time that we'll see those ones, our dear loved ones. Lynn's mom, there in Connecticut, she's 90. She lost her husband. Died in March. We were able to have a month together. And we have no assurance that Dad is saved. There was one magic moment. I call it a magic moment. I don't really get the wrong idea about the word magic. I don't mean the other kind of magic. But there was one magic moment a few years ago where the Lord was talking to me downstairs, and He just made His word clear to me. You just get excited because it's revelation. And I could hear Dad upstairs and could hear him walking over, and he's going to sit down in his big chair, his big boy chair. He lived a long life. He lived till he was 92 before he had a fall this March and died. But I went up there and I said, Dad, do you remember the story about Thomas, doubting Thomas? Do you remember that? And he had a congregational church background that unfortunately in their family led to Jehovah's Witness. But he said, yes, I remember that. And I said, you remember that Thomas said, unless I see the wounds, I will not believe. And remember, Jesus wasn't there, but you remember that Jesus came right through the wall. Jesus came right through the wall, came right up to him, came right up to Thomas. He said, Thomas, thrust your fingers in there and don't be doubting anymore. I said, Dad, Jesus is God. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus is Jehovah. And Dad, he looked right round at me. He looked right round at me, full on. And he said, John, what should I do? And I said, Dad, all you got to do is acknowledge that you are a sinner. You've broken God's laws. And all you got to do, Dad, is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins on the cross and rose again. And you will be saved. You could do it now. And then, as far as I know, nothing happened. And the next day, I drove him somewhere, and it was back to, you guys say this, but the Jehovah's say that, you know. So I don't know. Come now. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be there. You're not going to be there. It makes it very plain. And the invitations are issued out right until the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 21, 22. It's right there. As clear. In England, as we say, as clear as the nose in your face. I will give to the one, 21:6, I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. Without cost. We can come, you can come, sin and all now, to the foot of the cross. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will give you everlasting life now. He says, but for the cowardly, verse 8, but for the cowardly and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Come now. Come now. Believe in the Lord. There's room for you too. There's room for you too. We have a wonderful, tremendous hope. We have the same hope that Abraham had. Abraham and all the Old Testament saints will be there with us. What was Abraham's tremendous hope? Hebrews 11, 8 and 10. What was Abraham really, really looking forward to? Was it settling down in Canaan? By faith is believing God, is it not? Abraham believed God, and when he was called, he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he could go. He went out not knowing where he was going. No GPS. No GPS. Did he have to answer a lot of questions from Sarah on that journey? You think he did? What do you think? Yeah. The Lord gave him the answer. I don't know, Sarah. I don't know. But I believe God's going to show us. I believe God's going to show us. And they got there. They got there. He went out not knowing where he was going. And by faith, he also lived there. By faith, by believing God, he lived as an alien. That's how I am here in your country. This is your country, my wife's country, and I am from another country. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. He was there in the land of promise, but he didn't settle down. He didn't put his roots deep. Why? He lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, son, grandson, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city. not looking around as in where is it, but looking forward eagerly for what city? The city that has what? Foundations. The city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Will Abraham find that city? Will we be there where Abraham will be? What's the name of that city? The New Jerusalem. And how are we supposed to think about it? Hebrews 13:14. For here we do not have a lasting city. We may be from Duluth, we may be from the USA, we may be from somewhere else, but we do not have a lasting city here. We are seeking, we are looking forward to, with expectancy, the city which is to come, the New Jerusalem, because that city will last forever and ever. And we're going to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. His coming is personal, and it's imminent. It could happen at any time, and it's also completely sure. Completely sure. Nothing less than unfulfilled certainty. What a hope. What a hope we have. The Lord Himself is building this city. What will it be like? It'll be an unbelievable city. An unbelievable city. Like a city we've never seen before. A city of light, shining, clean, beautiful, sin-free. Heaven is a wonderful place. Remember that chorus we used to sing? Wow, it's going to be that plus, plus, plus. You know? What will be there and what will not be there? What will not be there? Revelation 21. What will not be there? Someone like to say? Pardon? Yeah, tears. Crying. The last great enemy, death, will be defeated. Death was defeated on Calvary's cross, and death will be no more. That is the great defeater of men, is it not? I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, back to verse 2, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Just like that great day when our bride made herself ready for us. I heard a loud voice from the throne. God has a mighty voice, like many waterfalls, it says in Revelation. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be among them. We're going to be where God Himself will be. And 22:4 it says, we will see His face, and His name will be on our forehead. God Himself will be among them. We'll be so near to God. What will God do about all the tears that we do shed and that we are shedding, that we have shed over different sorrows and people who we have lost? What is God going to do about those tears? He's going to wipe them away. That's how near He will be to us. Isn't that a hope? Isn't that a wonderful thing? This year, I mean, we just got back from Papua New Guinea, the end of January. Early February, I found out my cancer is growing, but it's growing at a very slow rate. Then we had that month with my father-in-law. Then he fell down the stairs, died March 20th. 3 days later, Lynn, my wife's younger sister, half-sister, Diane, died 3 days later. And you know what Diane told us? She was 57 years of age, and she had moved away to Virginia. But we had just come from Papua New Guinea at the end of January, and we saw her three times before she died. And she died March 23rd. That was amazing in itself that we saw her that many times. And you know what she said to Lynn and I? She said, when you took me, just talking to her big sister right here, she said, when you took me to the Jeremy Hill hymn sing, Saturday night hymn sing, that later on became the North Stonington Bible Church. When you used to take me to the Saturday night hymn sings, she would have been 13 or 14 years of age. She said, I got saved and nothing changed. She's never lived for the Lord that we know of, but we found out from her son-in-law, who is saved, that she, in her own ways, according to as much as she understood and knew, she came back from the Lord 3 years ago. And she was a different Diane. She was upbeat. She was different. It was amazing. So Diane, we know, went to be with the Lord. And Lynn was able to tell the family that when we got together and talked about these two deaths. Death is a reality with us. And recently Pastor Dennis and us and many others, we said goodbye to our friend, Jay Chappell. And it was wonderful to hear about the moment when he died. Maybe you've already heard the story, but he had, in the one eye he had the palsy, and what was it in the other eye? Cataracts. He had cataracts in the other eye, palsy in this eye, but as they looked at him, Larry told me, his own son, and then his son-in-law told him the same thing. As they looked at him on the Sunday afternoon at 1:20 or something like that, as they looked at him, they saw that both eyes were clear. Both his eyes were clear. And there was a lady there, I think she may have been a nurse, and she said it was as though Jay was looking at us, but he was looking on out into eternity. He went to be with the Lord Jesus. Death has been defeated for us, the believer. What a hope we have. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer any death, no longer any mourning. Mourning for tribal people can go on for weeks and weeks. Such despair. Every man, Jack, is important to those tribal people. Every woman, she can keep working in the gardens and supply the food and bear the children, help to bring up the children. And the men can watch the land, guard the land from their enemies. Everybody is important. When somebody dies, it is a big loss. And they feel that loss. They feel these people have deep feelings. They're capable of deep feeling in their hearts. And now there is such a thing in the culture that was never there before. When somebody dies, a certain kind of person, when they die now, there's a new phenomenon in the Gimi culture and other cultures around the world that was not there before. What is it? Hope. Hope is now there. And what else is there when that person dies? Do they just put him in the ground and that's it? And they cry and they go to pieces as they used to? There's a thing called a Christian funeral. Christian funeral. There never was such a thing. When we first went, there never was such a thing. Now there are Christian funerals. They sing, they read the Word of God, they cry, they're happy, they're sad, all at the same time. And they know, what do they know? They're going to see them again. Yes, there is hope. The gospel brings hope, real hope. We have real hope, absolute hope. There'll be no temple, no building. God himself and Jesus himself will be there, and that's all we need. There'll be no sun or moon. There will be no unsaved there. It's now or never. The Lord help us, eh? Wow. As far as I know, it's continuing in England. My heart is burdened for my own sister, third one. She's the one, some of you may remember, that she is challenged, mentally challenged by something that happened way back, maybe somewhere between 18 and 20 years of age, some trauma that my sister went through that the family has never told me. And she went all within herself to survive life. So she doesn't really speak much, although that is starting to change a little bit. And now when we went over this year to England, and there was my sister, and she made a cup of tea. You say, John, that's nothing. For my sister Diane to make me a cup of tea a couple of times and bring it to me, that is a little bit of progress. And my sister talked to me. My sister said words and talked to me. And she said, thank you for coming. And before she said to me, I hope you can continue to live, you know, despite having the cancer. And I said, Diane, that's my hope too. And we started her on the, not the stranger, but we went to the kids book because more, you know, on a level. What's the name I want for the kids' edition? A lamb, a beautiful lamb. And then one lady, she wanted to help, so we went over it with her. And she's, as far as I know, Janice is still going through with Diane, covering the lamb. And we had a little session with Diane when we saw her. So now's our last chance with the unsaved. And there's plenty of room for them all to go to. And the Lord Jesus has promised us, I will come again and bring you to myself, that where I am, there you may be forever and ever. Also, what a hope we now. We can remind ourselves, as Tim LaHaye said in his little book, he said, our life now, this will be for us believers, this is the worst it'll ever be. This would be the worst it'll ever be. It gets tough, doesn't it? It gets tough. Sometimes I can't eat much. I'm limited to what I can eat right now because of having the radiation. The radiation helped the pain in my right leg, but then there's always the other things. But the Lord's helping me with that, helping me to drink more water and helping me to eat the things that don't go through me. And he's keeping me going. You know, life is tough at times. But life is the worst now that it will ever be. For the unsaved, it's the best that it will ever be. How they need the Lord. Romans 5, 1 and 2. As quickly as we wind down here. Folks, we have a wonderful hope. We have a sure hope that the Lord wants to use in our hearts so that we can make the most of the time, that I can make the most of the time that I have left, and you also. That's what he wants us to do, doesn't he? Live expecting the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Romans 5, we have obtained our, he says, first of all, we've been justified by faith. God is satisfied with the death and the burial and the resurrection of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is satisfied with the death of his Son. God has been propitiated. As we had to say with the Guinea people, God cooled his own stomach. God was hot. God was angry about our sin. But God found a way to cool his own stomach towards us, his enemies, by laying our sins on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we can come to him because God is satisfied with the sacrifice of his Son. So therefore we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God, no more enmity between us and God. Isn't that a wonderful standing that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our access by faith, 24/7 access into this grace. That's a wonderful thing. Into this grace in which we stand. We have an audience. We have a way into obtaining the grace of God to help us as we go through life. And that's our standing. We could only stand before God by the grace of God. But we can stand by the grace of God because of the perfect life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is satisfied. I can be satisfied. I can rejoice in that. And then we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We can rejoice, he says, in the hope of the glory of God. Not a hope-so hope. Not a politician sort of hope. Not a political, you know. Well, I don't know if you're really telling me the truth and if this is ever going to happen. Not that kind of hope. But a yes, it will happen hope. Yes, it will be fulfilled kind of hope. That's the kind of hope we have. It's a sure hope. And the hope, our hope is what? The glory of God. The glory of God. And as Newell says, and if you want to look it up, page 166, Newell said, we will not merely see the glory of God. We won't be just spectators to the beauty, to the power, to the holiness, the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ being God. We're going to see him. That will be wonderful in itself, but it will be more than that. We will not merely see the glory of God, of what he is in all his splendor, majesty and holiness, but what? We will what? Enter into it. We will share it. 1 John 3. We're winding down. What a hope. What a sure hope we have. How does he want us to be now? Go back. If we look in chapter 2, 28, and on into 3. Now, little children, our aged brother is going to talk to us. If we were from Scotland, they said, my wee bairns, my little children. And that's, you know, we're the young ones. And he's our big brother, John. Now, little children, abide in him, or be abiding, present, continuous. Day by day, he wants us. God craves our fellowship. God wants us to be in fellowship with him day by day. And as we get out of fellowship, he wants us to confess our sins and be in fellowship with him. And he can give us the strength to overcome and not sin when we are tempted to sin. And if we do, we can come for cleansing, and he wants us to live in his presence. And then we can pray those prayers that God wants us to pray. And we will see God answer. God can do marvelous things through prayer, I tell you. We could talk about that. We can have another hour on that. Incredible what God can do in prayer. He wants us abiding in him so that when he appears, so that when the Lord Jesus appears and we see him at the rapture, that we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Wouldn't that be awful to live a wasted Christian life where we haven't tapped into the resources of the grace of God? We can all do something. The Lord can use us in small and big ways. One guy, I remember years ago reading about a guy who cleaned windows. He cleaned windows, and someone said, you know, what happened after you got saved? He said, well, I clean the corners now, too. You know, I mean, it's the big and the little things of life, isn't it? We can all do something. Christian kindness. I mean, a man, boy, he's a blessing. You know people like this. There's a man the other day, he gave us one of those cards, you know, to use in the supermarket. And he put on the back there, to our name from, he didn't put his own name, he just put Jesus. And all the time he says, he's coming back, isn't he? He's coming back. And he's living for that moment. And he's retired, but he's keeping busy in good, worthwhile things. As we say in England, we need to see the wood. We need to be able to see the wood from the trees. Meaning, we need to know what's important, don't we? I need to know. We can get buried in thinking about the stuff. You know, what kind of car am I going to buy now? What kind of house are we going to have? And all the rest of it. And paying our bills. And we can be full of tension. And, you know, we're people too. We live in the real world too, by the way. We have choices every day. But God can help us to make the right choice where we know that he says, beloved, now we are God's children. Verse 2. And we really are closing down, honest. Beloved, we are God's children. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know all about the life on the other side. But we know, this is what we know, that when he appears, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears at the rapture, we shall be like him. To see him at that moment is to become like him. One man said, revelation is a simulation. What a hope that we have. Think of that. To see the Lord Jesus Christ as he comes down at the rapture, for us to go and meet him, to see him, is to become like him at that moment. He's working on us, isn't he? Now, he's working on our stubborn hearts. I talk to me. It's not just Americans who are stubborn. Oh, wow. It's amazing, the grace of God and the patience of God. He keeps working in our hearts. All that he has been doing throughout our Christian lives, all that he's been doing through his word, through our trials, will culminate in us becoming absolutely like Jesus Christ at that very moment. What a response. What a thing we have. And what is my response to that? What is your response to that in your heart today? John says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, present, continuous, day by day, sometimes moment by moment. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. We're going to see a pure Savior. We're going to see a pure Lord Jesus Christ. Won't that be wonderful? And now he wants us to keep short accounts with him. He wants us to live in the light as he is in the light. And keep away from those things. If we've got to turn the computer off, if we've got to turn the computer off, if we've got to turn the internet off, that's what we've got to do. If we've got to turn the silly TV off, that's what we've got to do. A couple of times my wife and I, we just had to get up. We wanted to see a film. It all depends on how you look at it. Sometimes they make a good film. Sometimes you can see Amazing Grace. That film, you know, that's an interesting film. But sometimes you don't know what you're going to see. And a couple of times we've had to walk out. Whatever we have to do, he says, to keep pure in this filthy world, this dark world that we live in. He wants us to keep pure. And the Lord will strengthen us and give us grace. And people are watching us. People are watching you in your neighborhood, at work. They're watching us, aren't they? They're seeing how we handle life, how we go through it. And we have the potential to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the potential to pray for our brothers and sisters in faraway places like the Guinea believers, those in El Salvador and so forth, those in Burma and so forth. And we have the chance to go. You have the chance to give your whole life and go. And you have the chance to be that person that God wants you to be right here and right now. We have a tremendous, tremendous hope. We have a tremendous reason to live, don't we? And when you got cancer, that's what the doctors are looking for. What do you have? They want to know what hope you have. And boy, we have a hope. Boy, we have a hope. I mean, they want to write down things that help you. And I told the doctor the other day that for this diarrhea, which is a side effect of radiation, I said, write down coconut. Sounds crazy. Somebody told me about it and it does help. Eating strips of sweetened coconut or unsweetened coconut is better. Does help you with diarrhea. But I said, also write down prayer. I said, write down prayer. This is second generation Korean doctor, very respectful young man. I said, write down prayer. I'm not talking about prayer to anybody, Buddha or someone like that. I'm talking about prayer to the living God. Prayer to the living God by His own people who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That prayer is effective, and the Lord can heal, and the Lord can keep us going. I've had cancer for 6 years, be seven in April. The Lord is keeping me going. Real prayer from God's real people has a real effect in this world. It really does. Life is worth the living, isn't it? Because Jesus is alive, and Jesus is coming back. We have everything to live for, and we have the best to come. Shall we pray? I thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege of being here. I do. I thank you for these dear folks at Duluth and for what they stand for. Lord, they stand on the gospel and the word of God, and we ask that you will continue to bless them and strengthen them and strengthen each one of us today, Lord. Whatever our need is today, if we need to change our attitude, we need to talk to you about something, we need to see a change occur in our lives, whatever, Lord, if we need to just give our lives and hand it over to you, whatever you want us to do, Lord, we want to do that. We ask that you will work in our hearts, and we ask that you will enable us to respond to you to what you want us to do today and in the days and the months and years that we have left. Oh, Father, we pray. We thank you for the privilege of being your children. And we thank you for the wonderful hope that we have. We ask you to make this hope more real to us. May it be real that it's an imminent hope. It's a very personal hope. We thank you for your great humility that you, the Lord Jesus Himself, will come and take us. And we thank you, Lord, it's a sure hope that we can utterly and completely depend on. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.